raw data for breakfast.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
Good morning and happy Friday from American Public Media in Los Angeles. It's the Morning Open. I'm Steve Chiatakis. A couple of economic indicators came out this morning. What do they mean? That's ahead. Now, where's Wall Street? Dow is up about 0.2%, 15 points at this moment. We have the NASDAQ up about 0.1%, and S&P 500 down, pretty much flat across the board this morning for Wall Street. Asian shares closed higher today, 1-2%, but that's before Panasonic reported a $4 billion fiscal year loss. European markets are lower right now. A report this morning said the Eurozone economy shrank by 2.5% last quarter. All right, Bill Stone, Chief Investment Strategist at PNC Wealth Management, joining us live right now from Philadelphia. Good morning, Bill.
Good morning.
Thanks for being with us. More barometers, of course. The nation's industrial production fell in April, the smallest amount in half a year. Another report out of New York indicates pretty much the same. I mean, I don't like celebrating decreased production, but is this good news?
It is good news. It's, again, providing further evidence that at least the economy seems to be stabilizing. You know, that thing that people keep saying is getting worse at a slower rate, but it's much better than the free fall.
U.S. consumer prices, Bill, didn't budge in April, but for the 12-month period, it's the biggest recorded drop in like more than 50 years. Retail numbers were pretty lousy this week, yet prices are lower. If I'm a business trying to sell something, what do I do?
Well, I think it does. Outside of tobacco, almost all of the prices were down, you know, and it is impacting particularly some of the retailers as far as their earnings go because they can't sell things for as much. But part of that should help or actually turn around as the economy hopefully starts to rebuild itself. At least that's certainly what the policymakers are trying to accomplish.
It's all sort of teetering on deflation, inflation, all of that, trying to keep a healthy balance.
Exactly.
All right. Bill Stone, Chief Investment Strategist at PNC Wealth Management. Thanks for being with us. Have a great weekend.
Thanks. You too.
All right. The U.S. Senate in Washington takes up a credit card reform package again today. A lot of changes on the table there. The latest from Marketplace's Stacey Vanek Smith.
At the grocery store near my office, you have to spend at least $5 to pay with a credit or debit card. That's because merchants pay the bank a fee every time you use plastic. It's usually about 2% of your purchase. A lot of stores just build that cost into prices, so you pay it even if you use cash. Craig Sherman is with the National Retail Federation.
Retailers have always wanted to be able to discount for customers who pay cash, but Visa and MasterCard rules make it virtually impossible to do that.
An amendment to the credit card reform bill, now making its way through Congress, would let retailers give discounts for cash. Trish Wexler is with the Electronic Payments Coalition. It represents banks and credit card companies.
This amendment would remove all sort of enforcement on how merchants advertise their cash discount.
Wexler says retailers could advertise the cash price and then hit shoppers using credit cards with a higher price at the register. Shoppers pay about $48 billion a year in interchange fees. I'm Stacey Vanek Smith for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Reuters, offering breaking news, exclusive stories, and insights that impact today's financial markets. More at newsfirst.reuters.com. By Monsanto, committed to sustainable agriculture, creating hybrid and biotech seeds designed to increase crop yields and conserve natural resources. Produce more, conservemore.com. And by Constant Contact, dedicated to helping small businesses and nonprofits build stronger customer relationships through email marketing. ConstantContact.com.
All this week, Marketplace has been looking at the next American dream. Today, what immigration means to the future of this nation. For decades, more people came from Latin America to the United States than from any other region in the world. But stricter border enforcement and fewer jobs are slowing those numbers. Princeton University sociology professor Douglas Massey says there are consequences to these changes. Professor, good morning. Welcome. What has immigration from Latin America meant to the U.S. economy over the years?
Well, it's been the major source of low-wage labor in the United States. It has played a leading role in sustaining the economic boom of the 1990s. As the boom of the 1990s developed, we hit record levels of low unemployment rates that economists said before couldn't be achieved without causing inflation. And yet by the late 1990s, we had rates of 4% or so. And we would have reached bottlenecks with labor shortages had it not been for immigration and immigrants coming into the country.
But you don't think that if there is a shortage of jobs that people will say, you know, that more Americans and not immigrants will say, okay, well, I'm getting a little desperate here. I don't mind changing the bedpans or going out and picking tomatoes or something like that.
Well, in the short term, that may be true. But in the longer term, I think we'll return to a situation where those jobs will either be filled by immigrants or they will disappear or move overseas. Every developed country has now become a country of immigration, and it's built into the economic structure of post-industrial societies, and it's built into the demography of post-industrial societies.
Let's talk a little bit about the fallout that we're dealing with right now and the fact that the economy is in its worst shape than it has been in 70 years in many cases. You know, how does immigration affect that? Where do we see immigration going, and how does it play into sort of reviving the economy of today and from now on?
Well, in the short term, immigration is part and parcel of the dynamics of the economy. And so when the economy goes sour, immigration slows down. And that's exactly what we're observing. And if the economic slump continues, you'll see that trend continue. When the economy revives and jobs are created, you'll see a response in our immigration flows. The key for us is to figure out ways to manage this and handle these flows legally in ways that protect American workers and protect the rights of the immigrants themselves.
Professor Douglas Massey, a professor of sociology at Princeton, specializes in immigration. We thank you for joining us today.
Thank you.
Check out our Next American Dream section inside marketplace.org. We've got a reporter's notebook there, and you can share your thoughts. There's an audio slideshow, too, all that. In that special section, The Next American Dream, marketplace.org. In Los Angeles, I'm Steve Chiotakis. Have a great weekend.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.